I want to get in on the ground floor of a Russ Frushtick character, a co-creation. So, like, when the movie rights come in, like, it'll be kind of a co-branded Justin McElroy's Russ Frushtick's character. I want a Witcher, but it's just you. So what I'm suggesting is Russ Frushtick goes through the mutation, his eyes are yellowed, and now Russ Frushtick is the Witcher.
So it's not, we wouldn't come up with a fun name like Gerald Riviera or something like that. It's just
no,
like,
no. It's Rush,
but the Witcher. But he is a mutant Witcher, man.
What are my powers?
The butcher of Brooklyn, Russ Frushtick.
Right.
What are my powers?
He lives in Queens.
And I live in Queens.
Well, I know, but Butcher of Blaviken, Butcher of Brooklyn.
Sure,
the alliteration. Yeah. And also, why would you butcher people where you live, Plant? Use your noggin.
Your powers are the usual stuff, man. You look, your hog looks good in a bathtub. Mm. You can jump 20 feet into the air. Werewolves are very afraid of you.
I should mention that, like, when I try to grow my hair long, it really just poofs out like giant.
Perfect. I'm imagining it. I'm perfect. I'm in the moment. Okay, and here we go.
A witcher, you must help. The ghouls, they've taken over the village. Please, witcher, we've taken a collection amongst the village and raised a bit of coin. Please, witcher, can you help?
Yeah, a little more money. What do you got?
Whoa.
Wow, that's really playing into some troubling stereotypes, witcher. Here's a few more crowns that we've collected from the village. Here you go, witcher, can you help the terrible ghouls?
Yeah, maybe, like, is there someone around that could, like, I don't know.
There's only you, witcher. There's only you.
It's only me? Okay.
There's just you, witcher. Where are your swords? Your famous swords.
It's heavy. I like to pack light. I've got, like, the camelback, and that's really all I need. I just need hydration, really.
You can actually see him popping allergy pills.
Yeah, I should mention,
potions.
Are we in hay fever, right? A hay season right now? Is it ragweed floating around?
Here, I've brewed you an Allegra potion. Sire, please take it with my compliments.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't take this. I already took a Claritin.
Oi, Witcher, you're looking pretty good for a poke. Come into me bed, Witcher. I fancy a poke with your Witcher.
Okay, that's
no,
good.
No, Witcher, take me to bed, ooh. Witcher, please.
Witcher, no, bed me in your famous bathtub.
Wow, this is so much pressure.
Show me that mutant hog.
My name is Justin McElroy, and I've got a bloody nose.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I've got two bloody swords.
My name is Chris Plant, and I know which witch is the best witch.
My name is Russ Frushtick, and you should toss a coin to me.
Welcome to the Besties, where we celebrate video games in a all-year-round book club for video games. They should come up with a catchier way of saying it. Every week here on the Besties, we talk about a new game and explore the pros and cons, and
we come up with lists of what's, and then we give it a fun factor rating at the end, and sometimes we have to do that with a Netflix show because it's fucking January, y'all.
It's January, it's fine, but this is listen, the Witcher's hot right now. I mean, the Witcher always hot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Witcher 1 Witcher is pretty busted. Pretty polygonal. Pretty, like, I think it's hard to get, like, horny for that, like, Daikatana level sort of.
Was he in a tub in that one?
I think he's contractually obligated to get that, to splash that hog at least once per game.
So the Witcher is what we're going to be talking about this week. Both are we going to limit it to the Switch version of The Witcher 3? Is that the idea, that it's newer?
No, we should not do that, because that's not what I played.
Any bit of The Witcher 3, which is honestly, like, I want to say, what, that came out like a week ago, right? It's a new release?
Yes, it's we have been removed from the timeline by Chrono Wizards, so yes, it came out last week. No, it's kind of a slow period of the year, and the thing, but, like, weirdly, like, my friends who are not capital T true capital G gamers are, like, talking about The Witcher, and it's like, this is a, because it's on Netflix, and it's a very strange season of all the crossover like franchises to find mainstream appeal, The Witcher was approximately last on the fucking list.
It was definitely like, I was very prepared for full on disaster for the show. Like, I thought there was no way they were going to be able to do it. Kind of similar to like the success of Witcher 3: The Wild Hunt, which was a game that came out after two okay RPGs, but very dorky RPGs, and it turned into the biggest franchise that basically built an entire studio off of The Witcher 3. So, like, it does feel like there's something about this franchise that has, like, a little bit of magic in it. And I'm not just talking about Geralt's powers.
To catch new listeners up to some besties lore in Witcher 3 lore, Freshik's right. When Witcher 3 came out, I think a lot of people were surprised. Obviously, there were hardcore fans of Witcher 1 and Witcher 2, but nobody really expected the kind of GTA level of fandom that surrounded Witcher 3. And four very otherwise intelligent guys really missed out on that moment, I would say. I don't think any of us were huge fans of Witcher 3 when it came out. I have a feeling that has to do with none of us being huge fantasy people. Am I misremembering this?
No, that's not it. Because I got very much into Skyrim and like Elder Scrolls games. So it's not that. I think, and we could talk about this as we like dive into like the game itself, but I think Witcher 3 does not start well and also does not introduce people to the game well. Like, it's bad at tutorial, it's bad at balance in the early hours, to the point where I was getting like smoked and I didn't know why.
It is ultimately the third game in a franchise that I think most people, you know, didn't play the first and second, who got very into Wild Hunt, completely blew away the first two entries in the franchise. So I think it's easy to forget that it is the third game in a franchise, but I think that a lot of those sort of growing pains are because of that.
You think they were assuming people would play the other two and were like, we can make this hard?
A lot of my problems with The Witcher 3, because I think I'm probably among the people in this call, like the one who is the least into it, can probably be explained by the fact that it is still the third game of the franchise. And so, like, for me, the characters don't necessarily resonate especially well, but I'm missing two games worth of context.
Yeah.
For all that stuff. And that's honestly like why I've been kind of into the TV show, is that it's not The Witcher 3, the TV show. It really takes its time to, like, this entire episode is about Yennefer. Like, okay, hell yeah.
I played a lot of The Witcher 3, and I think I just got to a point where there was a lot left of it. And I want to mainly celebrate this game, so this is not digging it necessarily, but it is sort of my explanation, my excuse, perhaps, why I fell off of it about midway through the game. There is so much to do in this game, like main quests and secondary quests, and also Witcher contracts.
And treasure hunts.
And treasure hunts, yes. And there's so many things to do in the game. It's very easy to like get too deep into, you know, chasing down certain quests that maybe don't like interest you. But if you're a completionist like me, you're like, you know, go ahead and pounding through the ones that are at your level. And I think I just kind of got lost in the weeds a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely had that vibe, especially when you look at the map and it's like the map is just filled with things to do. I think for people, maybe there are some people that are listening to this that like just saw the show and don't really understand like how you could necessarily make a game from based on what they saw in the show. I don't know. It could be sort of hard to grok, I guess. So maybe it makes sense for us to just like sort of describe the like main flow of like how this game
even
works.
I think it's the most video game ass show I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's worth
it. Every episode is a level. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what you're
talking about.
Witcher
3 is not a level based game. That's what you know what I mean?
No, you're exactly right. Yeah, it's a third person action adventure game that is just Geralt and sometimes Ciri,
Roach, the horse.
Roach. Okay, here's a Witcher here's the Witcher for you. Okay, The Witcher 3 that encapsulates our problem. You have a horse named Roach, and there is a fairly decently sized character named Roche. Really? Guys, really? This is how many different things are in this game? Anyway.
Okay, I'm going to take a swing at this. The Witcher 3 is fantasy, except for it's not set on Earth. It's set on a kind of lost planet and maybe a different dimension. And a long time ago, there was a dimensional catastrophe in which a whole bunch of dimensions pushed up against each other.
What? I didn't know
people
that.
Got things. People, oh. Humans, beasts from different dimensions got rattled off of their dimensions and they fell onto this shared dimension planet. And that is where the game is set. Yes. This
I'm so much less interested in that now.
Really?
That's the coolest shit about this game
for me.
I mean, okay. I didn't realize they came from other dimensions. I thought they were just elves and stuff walking around.
Have you read like literally any of the lore books? I am a nerd.
I just did them. There's a lot of reading in that game. There's a lot of reading. I just think it's cool for what it's worth that the game, I think, mimics the vibe of like Geralt bebopping and scatting around the map, taking quests and like just doing his thing in like a very authentic way that is also represented in the show really cool, which is just like, hey, I'm going to haggle for more money for this deal because all I want to do is just like get some more money so I can like be a depressing Witcher guy.
So yeah, it's an adventure game. You're going around helping people. It's interesting. He's not the most, I think the tough things for me about The Witcher is that, as you may have seen in the show, like he doesn't have emotions, or at least they're very tamped down by the Witcher mutation. Oh, Witchers. Let me say real quick. Witchers. Who doesn't know about? Okay, Witchers are mutants, basically, that are made to fight monsters for money.
The demons from the other dimensions, specifically.
What?
Right.
Yes.
No. Russ, you got to get on board. And they gave them like poison, and they turned the little boys into like monster killers.
Yes.
Right. To fight the demons from the other dimension.
Sorry, I thought you called them the demons. I was very confused.
Oh boy, they're not witches. No. Did you get that part, Fresh?
They're not witches.
Yeah, I got that they're not witches. Okay, they hunt witches.
They don't do witch, right? You're on board with this so far, Russ.
Yeah, I'm down.
Okay.
I'm down.
So we follow Geralt. In the Witcher 3, you're following Geralt as he tries to track down Ciri because she's taken off and he senses that she's in danger. And for all the scope of the game, it does tie back to that idea of like he's trying to track her down. Sorry, Russ, you look confused. Did you miss that part?
No, I got that part. It's good.
Okay, good.
Maybe I should turn on video.
Maybe. But you're following Geralt as he searches for Ciri. Now, when I decided for the second playthrough, like I'm going to really focus on the main story. I'm going to really just focus on that and try to push through that. You end up in a lot of like, where did Ciri go? And somebody's like, I'll tell you if you do 5 hours of things for me. Like, okay, fine. Yeah, okay. Then that person wants you to do something. And then the person that they told you to kill has another thing that they want you to do first. And then you can take care of that and then work your way back up to like finding out like, she's over there.
Yeah, it's like, the mousetrap of main quests. Like, it just keeps going. Yeah, I agree. I don't think that's the way to play it. I think when Witcher 3 like exceeds its expectations, it's when the other night I was like, oh, I need some money. I'm going to take on a Witcher contract, which I just pick off the board. And apparently some guy has gone missing and I'm going to go find the guy, which seems like a very straightforward like side quest that you would see in any RPG. So I go and I go to find the guy and there's a dude that's basically been crushed by a rock. And then suddenly another rock comes flying out of the sky. And then I go and chase down like, who threw this rock? So I'm like tracking I'm tracking things through the ground. And I eventually get to a lair. And in the lair is a hand-drawn crayon of Geralt with a large rock falling on him, like you would see in a Wile E. Coyote cartoon. Apparently someone had this grand plot to drop a rock on me. Who was it? It turns out there was this band of like monsters. There was a werewolf, there was a godling, a little like alien boy, there was an elf. Like this whole band of monsters came together and they were like, we're gonna get that Geralt. And they had this whole back and forth of like, are you a bad guy or aren't you? And Geralt has to be like, no, I've helped this person and that person and that person. And it just turned into something that was like, turned into like a trial of a Geralt, which was like way more than you would have expected from just like, that's find so this wild guy.
That's the best time that I have with this game is when it leans into the stuff that is cool about the concept of this world, which is to say like, this idea of, you know, the Witchers in general, these mutated monster hunting guild members, and the way that they do what they do. The Witcher contracts are my favorite part of the game, where it's like, yeah, this woman just got murdered over by this well. Go check that out. And you go check that out, and you have to kick on your Witcher vision, which is like the Batman detective vision, and you look for clues, and then you follow those around until you say, oh, well, this is obviously done by this type of ghoul because it came out at this time of day, and here's what I know in my glossary about what they're weak against, so I have to brew this type of potion and cast this spell to, like, bind them because that's what this monster is weak against. Like, that's cool. Like, that makes me feel, that is some role-playing for me that I really enjoy. It, for me, it is like, I could not care less about, like, the main story and the characters as much as I... Maybe I just like Monster Hunter, and that's why.
That's what I love so much about both the TV show and the video game, is I feel like both in TV and video games for the past, I don't know, decade, there was this obsession with, like, the main narrative, and every episode leads into the next, and video games have to be these very serious, big dramas that are just, I don't know, I'm just, like, am bored of the search for prestige and for, like, things being of a certain value. And I love The Witcher, the TV show, because it reminds me of The Mandalorian, where it's Monster of the Week. It's like Xena or Hercules. And you show up and you watch it. It's, like, oddly funny or oddly violent or horrific. And then you're done with it. And if you want to watch another one, sure. And if you want to save it for another day, great. In the video game... is the first video game I played in, I don't know, forever, where the side quests are effectively that. I could play the main quest. I've largely have avoided them because I enjoy that. Like, okay, I have 30 to 45 minutes at the end of the day, especially when I'm, like, on the bike. I can hop into one quest. I can have that experience, like Frush said, and sometimes they're really funny. There was one that I had where it's like I met a sorcerer who was holding ceremonies to revive the dead so that it can be purged from the world, but then his father comes back and accuses him of patricide, and decisions that I make in that end up affecting things that I make on later, none of which has to do with the main quest. And that's so fantastic. I wish more games, I just spent like 100 or so hours playing Assassin's Creed last year, and while those side quests are fine, I don't remember any of them. They're not, yeah, what I would say, especially consequential.
Geralt's great solution to that is, I'll go burn your dead dad's body in the forest. I've got this. Don't worry. I'm a witcher. I'm going to go incinerate your dad. Okay, I'll be back in a bit.
That's almost.
I got a fast travel point right next to your dead dad's body, so I'll just go burn him real quick.
That's a solution for everything, man. Like, we've got mice in the grain bins. I'm going to go burn your dad. I'm going to go burn him up good.
I would push back against, and I know this isn't exactly, the game for me has, the Witcher senses, I think, are like, so boring as a way of, like, getting you from, like, literally, y'all, a third of the quest is like, they drink a bunch of things, I'm gonna follow their stink. And then there's, like, visible stink waves that you just, like, follow a stink trail to them and then kill them there. And it's like, there's a lot of, like, I'm gonna activate my Witcher senses and then, like, walk around and find a little three glowing red things, and that'll move me on to the next thing, or follow this trail of stink from A to B. I find that stuff,
I want a Charlie laborious. Brown Witcher crossover where it just ends up being Pigpen at the end of it.
Damn it.
Or a family circus crossover where you follow just sort of the lines of the monsters. They go all across the city and play baseball with their friends and then go to the hot dog store.
Just have a question for you. How do you feel about the loot in this game? And I'm not talking about the good loot. I'm talking about finding, like,
the loot.
Goat milk or whatever, or a ladle or a broken rake.
I'm going to complain about this too. I go into the village because I get weighed down. Uh-huh, okay. Sure. Imagine Geralt of Rivia, hero of the Butcher of Blaviken, shows up and he's like, what's up, Geralt? Why are you hobbling? I'm carrying 12 maces. What? I'm carrying 12 rotten maces. I'm going to sell you for $10. I only have enough money to buy 8 maces. Okay. Fuck. I guess I'll carry 4 maces with me in my pockets to the next village. The next guy can buy the rest of it. Also, I have this huge bag of trash that I could break down into, like he's rooting through it, like, here's some candlesticks I stole from some lady. Here's a plate I found on the ground. Here's some raw meat that I eat sometimes. It's like a wild amount of trash that I have to go through to find if any of it can break down into, like, good materials. So I'm just, like, looking through trash, like,
what could I make out of a ladle?
gross doll, broken axe. No, this is trash.
I got 15 donkey spines. Anybody need these donkey spines?
Yeah, it is very silly, but I think I think it is the side quests that like make it such a special thing.
It could be smoother. I wish you could mark things as junk in your inventory and then just sell them when you got back to town. Because it's
I just
very
wish I
boring.
Knew what was junk.
Even better, what if they just didn't have so much fucking shit in this game? This is like my number one pet peeve now, and I feel like I talked about it, like, I've talked about it so many times on the show, this idea of just like, this game's going to have some dope-ass, huge, long-tail RPG mechanics that we are going to sort of introduce in the game in these, like, wildly narrow increments of just like, this sword gives you plus 1% versus ghouls. And it's like, is that good? How much is that? Is that good? Do I want plus 1% versus ghouls? Do you need me to go into the menu and press 5 buttons so that my sword can be 1% better on ghouls?
One thing that that is kind of neat about The Witcher, once you understand it, is the alchemy system. So you can get ingredients for potions that are just like lying around the ground, or you collect from monsters, and then you brew those potions. This is not well explained in the game, because I thought that you had to have those ingredients every time that you wanted to make those potions. And it's really more like you brew it once and then automatically it is refilled with alcohol. He just pours alcohol into all the bottles. He's like, well, that's it.
It's like
refilled.
He was a kid and he snuck into his parents' liquor cabinet and just refilled all the bottles while they were sleeping.
I didn't engage with that system at all because it seems so annoying to have to like find all these ingredients constantly. But it's really like once you brew it once, you've got it. And that's cool.
Yes? I'm sorry, but what if the entire game, we're just experiencing it from The Witcher's point of view, but to the rest of the world, he's just a drunk, normal guy wandering around being like, Blammo! Hell potion! Like, oh my gosh, you drank 8 dwarven spirits.
That's just dwarven spirits, Geralt. You're pouring them into potion bottles, but it's just pure grain alcohol. Can I say one more thing about the loot before we move on?
Yes.
I love in The Witcher 3 that monsters just have like their blood and brains and trash, and you fight them a lot. But men, they're loaded to bear with all kinds of good sellable stuff. So The Witcher, who in the narrative probably prefers to hunt monsters, when J-Man's behind those white locks, I'm just looking for dudes. Like, I got attacked by bandits. It's like, fuck yeah, look, pinatas. I'm going to burn you guys to ash and take all your shit. Excellent. This is way better than hunting monsters. I make kids convince me, like, does the monster have anything good? I mean, does he own, like, possessions or whatever? Because I'd prefer to kill men if I could.
I want to tell you guys about everybody's talking about the Switch version of this game. I want to tell you about the Griffin Special Actually Good Edition of The Witcher 3, which is to say, I just built this new PC, and I was like, I'm going to play Witcher 3 on PC because I bet it's going to look amazing. And it looks all right. But I've installed mods into it that fixes some of the terrible shit that this game does. It has a fast travel system where you can bounce between these different waypoint signs, right, that you find in the world,
yeah.
But you have to travel from the waypoint sign. You can't just like open up your map and go to any fast travel point. You have to go from fast travel point
to
fast
travel point. Sure,
it's realistic. Right.
It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
So bad.
And you also have to open your map to find where the sign is
so you can go to the sign.
Yes.
So I installed a mod where you can just fast travel to any waypoint whenever you want. That's awesome. I got rid of weight restrictions. Mm-hmm. I got rid of weapon durability. Your weapons can like get broken, and that's just a mechanic. Games, stop. Nobody likes that. Nobody's like, oops, I played too much of the game and now my sword doesn't work anymore. I made it so that all of your quest objectives show up on the map all at once, not just the single one that you're tracking. And it's when I started installing all these mods, like I made a version of the game that was like way better for me to play and enjoy it. And it also made me realize like, wow, there's a lot of really little annoying things about this game, which is hard for me to like really hold that against it because when was this game released? Like 2016. So like, I don't know, maybe in the last 4 years, we've sort of ironed out a lot of those wrinkles, but it is the best version of the game I've played. The Griffin Special Edition.
Yeah, I do want to mention though, Griffin, you haven't had the experience of following stink lines while pooping, which you can't really do on PC. So
that's fair.
I think the Switch version is kind of a marvel that it runs and looks as good as it does. I will say that I have had multiple like technical issues, like several crashes, just like the game crashing out, getting stuck and stuff, falling through the world, which like you kind of get it with something this expansive and they're shoving it on a platform where it is not a perfect fit. But I did want to mention it's like it's very impressive, but it can be annoying.
Yeah, it's a little annoying. I think for as much time as I've put in, yeah, I've probably had like 5 crashes in total. It's fine.
Here's the deal. The Witcher 3, it turns out, it's a great game. People should give it a try on whatever platform
they have.
Especially if
you saw the show and liked it.
And we should talk about that show.
Wait, I want to talk about the show, but I want to say one more thing about The Witcher 3. The wildest thing about The Witcher 3, and I literally can't think of a game that's had a story like this. It came out in 2015 or 2016. Yep. And it has sold more in the first half of 2019 than it did in the first half of 2018. Like, this old game is selling, like, more than it was before. Like, the tail on this game is absolutely wild. Like, there just aren't games like this.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. I can't think of a single time where this has ever happened, because obviously whenever a movie or a TV show comes out that's based on a video game, it's terrible. So no one wants to play that game in previous times, but like in this case, yeah, wow, it's crazy.
Let's take a break and then get into a discussion about the television show.
Yeah. The Witcher on Netflix is its, I guess, official name. Maybe not on Netflix, but The Witcher.
No, they call it The Witcher on Netflix.
That's what I call
it. That's how he introduces himself in every scene.
On Netflix is The Witcher on Netflix. Where's these mummies that's been causing such a problem around here?
So, for people that don't know, the first season of The Witcher is based primarily on the first book, which is really a book of short stories. Written by an author's name who I am not going to attempt to pronounce. He's from Poland. But he wrote these short stories about this guy, Geralt, who walks around as a witcher and doing things. And many of the episodes are directly pulled from short stories. So the story about the genie, the story about the Striga, the transformed princess in the castle that they have that huge, awesome fight. The Butcher of Blaviken, that whole situation is all pulled directly from this initial book, which takes place far before the events of the game that we just talked about.
I've never played Witcher 1 or 2, so it did provide like actually some valuable context for me, like mm-hmm. introducing first of all like huge important characters throughout the Witcher game franchise, like Triss Merigold and Yennefer of Vingerberg mm-hmm. and Ciri and the eponymous Witcher. So like I found it valuable, you know, from a coming at it from just having played the games.
You know what's actually interesting? The first two games are not based on those stories either. They actually take place after those stories as well. The way they justify it is they just gave Geralt amnesia and he was like, "Wait, you say I'm a Witcher, but what is a Witcher?" Those are the first two games. Yeah,
that's, oh wow. Okay.
So it's all like trying to teach the audience what this world is. And there's some references, obviously, to those previous events, but they are not retellings of the episodes in the show or what was in the books. So
I have never engaged with the story of the games. I played a good amount of 2 and a good amount of 3, a little bit of 1. It was the first one was rough. But I didn't really gauge the story. I think it's probably the first time I heard someone say Yennefer out loud because it is just Jennifer with a Y. And that's rough. That's a challenge, actually, to hear repeatedly and engage with the story. I think my brain was just like, nah, no thanks. I'll take a pass. What's cool about the show is it actually made me want to play the game. I got more background and like a better understanding of who this character was. The emotion thing, the previous times I played the game, never clicked for me. Like, it was never hit on nearly as much as it was in the show. So I always thought he was just kind of like a stoic, boring guy. And maybe you can make the argument that he is. But when you see it reflected in the lens of the show, like, you can really feel who the character is a bit better. And it actually made, like, the game more interesting as a result, because I feel like I had a better idea of who this guy was, like, how he would, like, handle himself in different situations.
I think the thing that disappoints me most about the show is that it still doesn't get into Yennefer's siblings, Yash, Yeremy, and Yustin.
Boy, that was a long way to walk for that goof.
Jacob.
I do want to mention.
I love that bit in Heavy Rain where he's like, yay, son.
All right.
Yay, son. Henry Cavill
is a real fucking gamer. And I'm not going to listen to the three of you talk about how he's not a real fucking gamer.
He's just like you and me. He's a real gamer. You know what? I got to give it to him. I think he's miserable as Superman.
But that's not his fault.
I think he's...
It's kind of his fault.
I'm not going to give anybody in that flick a pass. Miserable as Superman, but I think excellent in this show. Like, he brings a level of, like, he has to be subdued, right? But he's bringing some, like, really interesting stuff, like, just below the surface of that you can pick up on that I think really makes him a lot more compelling.
He's so charming.
Charming. And I actually found having watched the show, being able to role play not as myself, which I normally, when I play games, I role play as whatever myself, what I would do in that situation. But because I watched the show, I know, like, I feel like I have way more of a sense of his motivations. So
absolutely,
I'll role
play for sure
in the game, which is authentic to how he would act.
Absolutely.
And that is pretty funny because in the game, you actually get to choose your romantic relationship, but in the show, it is very clear that there is one correct answer to that question, and it is 100% Yennefer. There's really no doubt.
I think Geralt in the TV show beats the ever-loving shit out of Geralt in the game, and it's because, like, I think that, and maybe I just haven't played enough of The Witcher 3, because I've never wanted to like a game more and, like, bounced off it so, like, repeatedly and consistently as I do with The Witcher 3. But I find the character of Geralt in Witcher 3 to be sort of this, like, featureless... So he says funny shit from time to time in cutscenes. Like, he has a very wry, like, sense of humor. But, like, he doesn't seem especially vulnerable ever. And Witcher in the TV show, like, in the second episode, he gets captured and essentially, like, is about to be killed. And in that moment, like, Henry Cavill, like, kind of crushes it in being this essentially still mutant superhero who is still, like, talking to this bard who idolizes him, like, hey, we're about to die. Like, I am not some demigod who cannot be hurt. Like, this is fucking bad, and this is it. And in that moment, I realized, like, oh, wait, like, that's not a version of him that I ever, ever saw in the video game. In the video game, it was just like, you got werewolves, okay. I can kill those, no problem.
I think the thing with the game too is it's kind of luck of the draw in terms of the dialogue options you choose, and it's not always obvious, and you can definitely fall into a series of scenarios that are that, like, I don't know, like, classic video game hero tough guy shtick. But I was caught off guard how regularly it went the other direction, where he was like such a weird goofball or just would say really bizarre things. He's kind of just a weird dude. You get this sense that he didn't have the opportunity to be around normal people too often as a child.
Yeah.
And now he's really struggling.
Do you mean in the show or the game?
In the game. Oh, I think that's in the game. I think it's definitely in the show. But I think in the game, you just... It's a matter of whether or not you happen to choose the dialogue that leads you down that path. I think you could just as well choose the dialogue that goes in the, like, power fantasy direction. And that's why the show has the advantages. I think there's more authorial intent.
I think that, though, like, the reason that the humor in the game doesn't always, like, register with me especially well is that it only contributes to this, like, invulnerable, untouchable superhero, right? Like, he's only able to joke in the face of, like, all of these extenuating circumstances because he knows there's no chance that it poses, like, any threat. At least that's the way it hits for me.
Have you seen him perform theater?
No.
Okay, so there is a scenario, maybe like 15, 20 hours in the game, where you need to win back over the trust of a friend, and it feels pretty life and death for that friend, whether or not they decide to trust you. So you decide to perform a show, including co-writing it as either a comedy or a drama, and then deciding if you perform in it as the lead, and then if you do perform in it as the lead, trying to actually hit your lines. And if you want to see a vulnerable Witcher, put him in front of a lively audience, Novigrad.
That sounds great. I'm just saying, in the first episode of the TV show, like, this entire town turns against him and, like, reveals this extremely... he's this emotionless, like, you know, monster slayer, but he is still, like... obviously, like, kind of scared of being alone and isolated, and like the whole season is kind of about that, and that is just like, I never got anything like that from the game, and I wish I did. If I did, like, I'd probably still be playing the game.
The thing that I think the TV show also has a huge advantage of is with a character like this, where it is a lot of subtlety, having a real human face to express emotion versus a video game character face goes a long way, especially when human face is Henry Cavill's.
Beautiful face, chiseled flawless, from granite. Yeah. Beautiful face. I really, really was blown away by I think the action on the show is super well handled. Great. There's not a ton of it, but when it happens, The Witcher beats ass in a way that is so convincing and brutal and savage that, like, there are fights that are just over in moments because he's such a brutal dude. And it is interesting because it's used so sparingly that it gives this subtext to a lot of the scenes of, like, man, I really hope that I don't have to be ass, because if I do, it will be so savage and complete that, like, I can't walk it back because I'm an absolute savage monster.
Twice in the first three episodes, he is faced with a fight, one against a huge band of mercenaries and one against the Striga, where they just, like, kind of rear their heads and, like, enter, you know, initiative, and he just looks at them and goes, fuck. And it works. It's the best cuss Henry Cavill's ever delivered times.
Yeah, he's terrific at it. It does create a little bit of dissonance in the game when you're, like, having to have meaningful conversations and you're like, well, I don't want to fight these people. But then you run into a gang of, like, 30 bandits and you fucking flamethrower the lot of them.
Like, they're dead.
Yeah. They've all got clubs. Give me all those maces. Come here, boys. Let me eat your maces and your legs of chicken.
There's no laws in the woods. I'll murder anybody in the woods.
How do you guys still have raw meat? I barbecued you. I set you aflame with my hands. Hey, can we talk about spells real quick in the game? Because we didn't. Do you guys use anything other than Igni, the fire spell? Because it's insane.
I only
to
use
do
shield.
That.
I don't love the... we didn't get it.
That's why you don't like the game.
Yeah, maybe.
You just need to set everybody on fire. You know what I actually did for this playthrough that I would highly recommend? I set the difficulty down to the easiest level, which actually makes it feel a lot more like the TV show, for starters. I never lose. I'm the Witcher. If I decide to fight you, I'm going to win.
Another mod I got in Griffin's great version of the game is I turned off fall damage, because I can't tell you how many times I would just be running through the woods like, I smell a monster stink. I'm going to, oops, I fell 10 feet. Oops, now I'm a ragdoll on the ground.
Yeah, he cannot fall very far, huh?
He cannot fall very far, except in my dope version of the game, he has a 6 spell. It's called Air Jordans, and he can't be fucking hurt by fall damage. It's amazing.
His kryptonite is ground.
Yeah. We should wrap up. It's weird. Before we had this conversation, I did not think that, like, my takeaway would be that I actually like the TV show. It's not a perfect TV show. Like, it has a lot of the same problems that I had with this same kind of pulp, gritty fantasy that I think Game of Thrones tried to pull off. Like, that tone is actually not especially appealing to me, but despite that, like, weirdly the characters are what made me enjoy the show, which
see,
is the opposite.
I actually disagree with you there, because I think this is pulp where Game of Thrones isn't. Where, like, Game of Thrones, and this is not to take anything away from Game of Thrones, obviously it was hugely successful, but for me what was nice as a sort of counterpoint to that is, rather than get you to care, and where I think a lot of fantasy shows have failed in the wake of Game of Thrones, is rather than trying to get you to care about an entire world and all the different warring factions in this world, although that's definitely happening in the background of The Witcher, it says, like, what if we got you to care about three people? Like, these are three people in this world that we want you to care about. And I think that's much more manageable for this scale of a show. It doesn't ask so much.
And I think they're also much more aware of how ridiculous it is. Like, there's a man with a goat face, and there's something very funny about that, and they sort of lean into that idea rather than moving away from it. It actually reminds me of Buffy in terms of tone than it does Game of Thrones.
But where's that dong? It's the TV show. Where's the Henry Cavill?
Yennefer
dong?
Is naked in half of the episodes, and the most we got some Henry Cavill. Feet.
Most of the women are naked in each episode, and we don't even get one Henry Cavill dong. It's cruel.
Season two.
Let's go for it.
#drop the dong. Season two. It's coming. Drop the dong. Drop the dong, Superman.
So do we have tweets or mail or what's up?
From Will Fulton, the ending of Wild Hunt and how series actions are informed by a few key decisions he made throughout the game really stuck with me as one of the most successful RPG endings of the last decade for giving a sense of meaningful agency and investment within a linear narrative. I agree with that. I mean, as somebody who had trouble getting into a lot of BioWare games, I'm really impressed how often it feels like decisions I'm making in one quest inform the next. And I don't know if that's a sleight of hand, but it feels very true. From Liz Lambert, the Witcher Netflix series was what made me want to restart The Witcher 3. Henry Cavill was also not even a blip on my radar until that show came out. Leave it to a female showrunner to make everything about this property appealing to people like me. I can't imagine why. She included a gif of Henry Cavill in a bathtub. It's good.
Drop the dong. Sean said, talking about The Witcher 3, which Sean dove into after the Netflix show, I found the soundscape most impressive. Walking through Novigrad, each area only has maybe a dozen people standing around, but the soundscape of the crowd murmuring and talking sounds like there's hundreds of people around. It really makes the place you're exploring feel real and lived in and filled with all kinds of people. It's trying to make me regret playing the game muted on the toilet listening to Blank Check. I feel like I might have missed a little bit of the soundscape doing that. I mean, I got some of it for sure, but like...
See, my modded version of the game is all like arena rock soundtrack. There's fucking like Chemical Brothers on there.
Every time Geralt goes downstairs and plays Rock and Roll Part 2. Witcher Haiku from Chance. Really like the books. Want to get into the games. There is also Gwent. That haiku talks more about Gwent than we did in our 15-minute segment.
It's okay.
I have this from, I believe the name is pronounced Dandan Stefanidis. I love that since new folks have decided to play the games for the first time, it's like a mini version of when everyone fell in love with Lord of the Rings. I get to geek out with a whole new branch of people. Also, I haven't read the book, so I get to be that person for someone else, too.
Oh, cool.
This is from Aiden. The only way I could successfully kill anyone without dying in The Witcher 3 was swinging wildly as I flew past on the horse at 90 miles an hour. Most fights took me 20 minutes or more. I think I would have to start over and redo the combat tutorial if I ever wanted to finish the game. So instead, I'm just waiting for Cyberpunk. Hopefully, it also has horses.
You're gonna be waiting a little bit longer. Yeah, it actually says in Witcher's glossary, it says, like, the werewolf is weak to silver, this wolfsbane potion, or if you ride past it at 90 miles an hour on your horse and you swing wildly at it 50 times, that will also get you there most of the time.
Should we jump into honorable mentions?
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
I just played through all of, because they have patched it once again on Switch, Bloodstained, subtitle. It's almost like Symphony of the Night, but it's not exactly that. I have wanted to play this game for a long time, but I've been kind of waiting. I bought it day one on Switch, and it had terrible performance issues. And I didn't feel like buying it on another platform because the developer said that they were working on a patch to get it going. They've patched it like four or five times. And finally, last week, they put out a patch for Switch that eliminates a lot of the input lag and sort of just general lag that made it such an unpleasant thing to play. Now it's really good to play, and holy shit, I like this game. It is essentially Symphony of the Night, but like, you know, with a scale that is truly staggering. Like, and I'm talking about in terms of like a mechanics scale. Like, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of these different powers to find and weapons to find. And that is like always my favorite part of the like Castlevania post Symphony of the Night games, is just all of the wild loadouts that you can build. Having shards, which are essentially spells that you can like level up in all of these different ways. There's a cooking system that is actually like meaningful, where you go out and you're like, fuck yeah, that cow monster just dropped some beast milk. Now I can go and make some flan to increase my health permanently. Like, it is so mechanics rich, and each of them like is like actually meaningful in a way that I just devoured that game over the course of like a weekend. I think it's absolutely great.
Yeah, I'm definitely jumping into that next after I finish Witcher.
Also, like, it is great that they finally like fulfilled the promise of making... obviously, it should have worked day one, but I think that's a problem that a lot of Switch ports have, of just like they come out and they just do not run nearly as well as they do on other platforms, and other developers are just like, well, that's too bad. Anyway, next game, and they have put in the work to make it work, and that's rad.
I have been getting back into a game called Cribbage with Grandpa, and I can't imagine this was a big hit at the time.
Sorry, we should clarify.
It's a video game.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, not a Cribbage with My Grandpa. This is like a couple years old. It's on the App Store. I think it's on most mobile platforms. So basically, it's a game where you play cribbage with your grandpa. You get to make your own grandpa, customize it. I customize it to look like my great grandpa Wobby, who is very into card games. There's like a nice soundscape in the back, and it very like gradually and gently with a really nice aesthetic teaches you the rules of cribbage, which is interesting because like it wasn't a game I had any awareness of. I think a lot of people will enter into the game like that, and they've built like the most welcoming, friendly, kindly tutorial like in the game, to the point where like there's it's a game where scoring plays a factor in different hands. So you have to count your own score, right? And sometimes if you miss something that you could have counted, your grandpa will be like, I'm not sure you got everything. Did you get all your points in that round? And you can set the like the difficulty of the grandpas as so they will like help you or not help you. But like I had no awareness of this game, and like it is one of those games that I love where like you can play a game and actually like learn a skill. And I know this skill is just another game, but still like it was a really cool way to learn, and I really dig it.
The game I have, I haven't played, I'll just be honest with you. But I want to mention it because I think a lot of listeners will enjoy it.
I played it.
You played it? Yeah. Temtem. It is effectively Pokemon, the MMO.
It's not effectively Pokemon, Chris. It's fucking Pokemon. Like, they just were like, what if we made Pokemon? And Pokemon was like, don't do that. We make Pokemon. But they're like, yeah, but what if we also made Pokemon? But it's an MMO.
It sounds really good. And I think people will enjoy it. Honestly, I'm just...
I downloaded it yesterday and turned it on, and it put me in a queue where I was number 9,900, and I was like, I'll come back. I played some this morning, though, and it's neat.
Nice.
I didn't really play with much or any games this week, but I do know someone who did, if you guys don't mind.
Oh,
who's here?
Hey, man. It's me. The Mitcher.
So...
Hey. What's up, dogs?
So,
hey, Mitcher.
What up,
Mitcher? What is that you're wearing?
Mitch, but you can call me the Mitcher.
Hey, the Mitcher.
You guys need any fool's parsley or green mold up in here?
So you're just sort of a party version of the Witcher, then, the Mitcher?
Well, look, the Witcher. You know, people talk about him. They say he travels the world fighting monsters. But sometimes you just want to chill with the Mitcher. Am I right,
Mitcher?
Yeah, the Mitcher.
How long did it take you to grow that rat tail that seems to be tucked into the back of your pants?
Yeah, it just keeps going, man. Sometimes I loop it around my head like a little headband. People like it.
I heard a rumor, the Mitcher, that the rat tail is the source of your powers.
Don't tell people that, man. That's how I get it. That's how I get my powers. Now, granted, my powers are just snacking, mostly.
Yeah.
Can't do much else.
We have a rundown where we list all the things that will happen in the episode, and we list our honorable mentions, and Russ wrote PS4 back button attachment.
I used the PS4
okay.
back button.
Oh, okay, so it's Mitcher. Delivered
yeah,
through.
Tell us about the back button attachment.
Oh, man, so check it. Here, the Witcher has, like, he has his normal PS4 controller, but the Mitcher, man, he can't always hold the controller and hit the triggers at the same time. So he's all about using this back button attachment thing. It's like really groovy, man. Let me just tell you.
Okay. What is that?
It adds these buttons to the normal PS4 controller, and you could just like tap them on the back rather than having to use the top buttons. You could keep your hands on the analog sticks and just like be like snacking away and not have to worry about those top triggers.
This is so weird. When I rub this Apple bong like a genie lamp, the Witcher seems to be dissipating into smoke.
The Witcher? Are you talking about the Witcher or are you talking about
the Mitcher? Chris, you confused the Witcher and the Mitcher again.
Oh, there. I got the Mitcher back in my apple bong.
Bye, guys. If you need any ergot seeds or allspice root, you know who to come to. It's the Mitcher.
Thanks, the Mitcher.
Thank you for, against all odds, listening to the Besties. Next week, we'll be discussing Kentucky Route Zero. So if you want to share any thoughts about that long-running franchise, how many times you've had to restart it from the beginning to remind yourself what's happening
well,
in
Act 5 is out now, or does it come out next week? What's the actual
coming out very
date
soon
for it?
I believe it's
coming out very soon.
Very soon. Mail@besties.fan is the address to share that to. You can send it our way, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on that. We'd also love it if you tell some friends about the show. It really does help us out. We're trying to grow the program, and it would really mean a lot if you'd share it with some folks and talk about it on social media.
Yeah, I should also mention, since you are listening to this on Spotify, because we're only on Spotify, take a moment, if you haven't yet, and make sure you click that follow button. I know there's been some requests for push notifications through Spotify, which isn't fully supported yet, but the follow button should, at the very least, notify you if you go to like episodes under the podcasting bar in Spotify. Should notify you when there's new episodes, or at the very least, you could follow our Twitter account, The Besties Pod, which will certainly let you know about new episodes, which come out every Friday. But yeah, hit that follow button. The follow button is life for us. It will keep the show alive. So it's a very low ask for you to do that. So please do that. That'd be great.
That is going to do it for us for this week. So until next time for the fellas here, my name is Justin McElroy, and be sure to join us again next time for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
A Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter, and our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!